From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gustina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, Governor Cuomo takes steps to protect massive data breaches. Our political observer, Alan Shartok, in conversation this week with Ed Cox, just re-elected as head of the state Republican Party. And the state mandates county governments find ways to consolidate. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. In light of the recent massive data breach at the credit reporting company Equifax, Governor Cuomo's administration is taking steps to make sure that in the future, the credit agencies have better cybersecurity in place. The Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt with more.
As Cuomo explained on WNYC's The Brian Lehrer Show, banks and insurance companies are required to have cybersecurity protections in place when handling customer-sensitive data, like Social Security numbers and credit history. But credit reporting companies are not required to have the same kind of security against potential data hackers.
Credit reporting agencies are nowhere. They just have no regulation, and they really fell in this loophole. And they have very sensitive information. You push it a little further, and it's identity theft, right?
Cuomo says he's directed his Department of Financial Services to require credit reporting agencies to register with New York beginning in February. They would also have to comply with the state's new stricter cybersecurity requirements for banks and other lending institutions. They just took effect this past August. The Department of Financial Services has the power under the proposed new rules to deny and potentially revoke a consumer credit reporting agency's authorization to do business with banks and insurance companies in New York if the credit agency doesn't obey the new regulations.
What we're saying is credit reporting agencies should be regulated the same way we regulate banks and credit institutions. They have to have protections in place. They have to have cyber protections in place.
Cuomo says the power of credit reporting agencies has grown over the past couple of decades without corresponding oversight. And he says the Equifax breach is a wake-up call.
They sort of developed over the years. Nobody was really paying attention to them.
Meanwhile, the Department of Financial Services is urging banks, credit unions, and other loan providers to carefully check applicants' information and use ID theft prevention and fraud programs to make sure it's legitimate. And the agency is urging lenders to double-check any information they receive from Equifax credit reports and to be careful about any personal information on customers that they send to Equifax. It also recommends that banks and credit card companies set up a call center for customers to report if their information has been hacked so that their accounts can be coded or red flagged for protection against potential fraud. The new rules won't do anything to remedy the data breach that's compromised the credit histories and personal information of 143 million Americans. The Department of Financial Services says consumers potentially affected by any type of cybersecurity breach should consider placing a fraud alert or even a credit freeze on their credit files. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Ed Cox was reelected this week to a fifth term as chairman of the state Republican Party. He was reelected unanimously, and he spoke to the Legislative Gazette's Alan Shartok this week about his reelection and how the party is looking forward to the next gubernatorial election in 2018.
Look, we are never been so united as a party across New York State, all 62 counties, and we are just very ready to go with the local elections coming up this November, and then especially November 2018, when we've got the statewide wide elections and the legislative elections, crucial elections for the people of New York State. They're really almost binary. Either we elect a Republican governor and have a Republican majority in the state Senate and get this state going the right direction, or we go the way of Illinois. Anyone who knows where Illinois is going, the way the Democrats control both houses of the legislature with supermajorities, even when they have a Republican governor, they just can't get themselves going in the right direction.
Yeah, but Ed Cox, I don't get it. You know, you got a governor, he's got $26, $27 million in his bank account already to clobber you guys with. He's going to be all over the airwaves, and I haven't heard of a major contender that you've come up with who can run against him.
Well, there is a person called Hillary Clinton who had hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank, and a person who had half what she had won the presidency. So look, it's a question of where the people are, what they want, and after three terms of Democratic rule, 12 years, this state is ready for a change, especially when we've got now a governor who is literally destroying industry after industry and jobs across the state, whether it's the natural gas industry in the southern tier or the pipeline industry. Pipelines can't cross New York State to carry clean natural gas to replace dirtier foreign oil in New England, or whether it's the attrition that's happening in the finance community, because that's the way he's raised $8 billion by putting a gun to the finance industry head and saying stand and deliver, and putting a surcharge that hits them particularly, so they're leaving for other places, or whether it's unskilled industries in this country. You have a $15 minimum wage that can be anticipated in several years by industries, unskilled industries here, and on the other side of our long border with Pennsylvania, you got a minimum wage that's half that at $7.25. Where are those industries going to go? Obviously to Pennsylvania. Or the nanotech industry, the corruption that has been involved in the way he's been throwing money around at projects that don't work. And you get Alan Calleros indicted and nanotech consortium say, we're not going to stay around for this. And they break up and leave. So that's not been good for the job situation here in New York. And we've got more citizens leaving New York State than any other state in the union. So and under those conditions, although I think we will be well-financed in the end, it's not just a question of money. It's a question of the direction of the state and how the people of the state feel.
And the question of getting yourself a candidate. I mean, every time we have this conversation, and we have it a lot, I say, who you got? And then you go, but you don't really come up with anybody.
Well, wait a second. We got people who are going around and talking to Republican gatherings all around the state, whether it's Deputy Majority Leader John DeFrancisco, very capable individual from Central New York. You've got Harry Wilson, who did a great job running for controller in 2010, looking at it very seriously again. Now you've got the minority leader in the assembly, Brian Kolb, looking at it. Rob Astorino now is running to be the county exec, Westchester County. I know he just wants to do that. Who knows what he may want to do in the future. But look, we've got serious candidates who are looking at it. In 94, when we beat your old friend Mario Cuomo, I don't think Pataki emerged until April of the election year. So we're ahead of the schedule as
well,
it
of
is.
Of course, Ed Cox, there is an elephant on the table, and that elephant is none other than Donald Trump, who is one of the most unpopular people that New York State voters as a class have ever seen. So, you know, no matter what you do, people are going to be voting against Trump on the Republican ticket.
This is going to be a question of the economic situation in New York State, and it's going to focus on three terms of Democratic rule. By the way, the first term with Spitzer didn't work out that well, as you know. And now with Andrew Cuomo and what he has done to this, that's going to be the issues, really. Here you've got a governor who is going into the hard left lane, which is killing jobs in New York State just in order to have a clean nomination of his party to be governor, and then to have the nomination as party president of the United States. That's what he's doing, and that's not what New Yorkers need. That's why he's killing jobs, because he's playing to the ideology of Bernie Sanders.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok speaking with New York State Republican Party Chairman Ed Cox. by listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Giustina. The Dutchess County executive and local leaders went to the Poughkeepsie waterfront this week, calling on the Environmental Protection Agency to require more PCB cleanup of the Hudson River. This comes as the agency considers public comment on its five-year review. We get more from the Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn.
Republican Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro urges the EPA to take further action.
And we need them to demand complete and comprehensive cleanup for our communities and the very future of the Hudson River Valley.
The EPA released its second review of the cleanup of PCBs from the Upper Hudson River June 1st. EPA held three public meetings, including one in Poughkeepsie, and a public comment period on the review closed September 1st. The review concludes that the $1.7 billion cleanup of the Superfund site is working, and while not yet protective, EPA expects that it will accomplish its long-term goal of protection of human health and the environment when the cleanup is complete. Molinaro and others disagree and want EPA to walk back its claim that the cleanup ultimately will be protective. An EPA spokeswoman says the agency met numerous times before, during, and after developing the proposed report with a specially formed five-year review team and the Hudson River Community Advisory Group. She says EPA received about 2,000 comments from individuals and groups and is now in the process of reviewing those comments with a final five-year review report expected by late fall. Ned Sullivan is president of Poughkeepsie-based environmental group Scenic Hudson.
EPA needs to carry it on, finish the cleanup in the Upper Hudson, and complete a remedial investigation of the Lower Hudson, and drop its unsubstantiated claim that the cleanup will be a success in 50-some years.
General Electric removed 2.65 million cubic yards of contaminated sediment from a 40-mile stretch of the Upper Hudson through 2015. Molinaro says the Mid-Hudson River has been paying the price.
So Dutchess County wants to make clear, and all of us here in service in the Hudson River Valley, that the future of our community demands a clean Hudson River, that the future of our economic vitality demands a clean Hudson River, and that we owe it to our children and their children to have a waterway that they can enjoy, that they can appreciate, and maybe perhaps people like Joe Bonora will be able to even serve the fish on his menu.
Joe Bonora is principal with Bonora Hospitality Group, which owns Shadows on the Hudson, the restaurant sitting above the Shadows Marina where Molinaro and others gathered.
And what's interesting is that while we serve fish from all over the world, we can't serve any fish from right here. And I know that that may be a long way off from happening, but wouldn't it be a great goal to shorten that length of time?
Bonora says his family has invested in redeveloping properties along the Hudson and sees a cleaner river as attracting more economic activity. EPA officials expect that it will be more than 55 years before all local species of fish are clean enough to eat once a week. Democratic State Assembly Member Dede Barrett says further remediation cannot wait.
I think that that we need to make it clear that this is not something that we're willing to just to sort of negotiate away or find some other way to address. This is something that we need to see happen now.
GE spokesman Mark Behan responded to calls for additional dredging after the EPA's Poughkeepsie meeting at the end of June.
We've just completed an unprecedented cleanup of size and scope unmatched in the country, and we think the right answer now is to assess what has gone on so far, see what the results of that are, and use that information, that data collection, to inform the next set of decisions that need to be made.
Republican State Senator Sue Serino and Democratic Assemblyman Frank Skartatos also spoke in support of EPA directing further PCB cleanup.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's administration has mandated county governments find ways to cut spending by consolidating overlapping services in their jurisdictions. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas explains.
In Columbia County, the Board of Supervisors last week approved a plan that includes sharing IT services, real property, and human resources personnel, and establishes a countywide purchasing agreement for procuring office supplies. County Chief Auditing Officer Ron Caponera says his panel got the measure approved in spite of a self-imposed short time frame.
But we accomplished it. We had 18 town supervisors on the panel, plus three village representatives and from the city of Hudson, representative from the city of Hudson. So they were on a panel. All but one unanimously passed. So I'm projecting 1.8 million, 1,880,000. So might as well say 1.9 million. Tax savings.
To the north, Albany County's shared services plan is in the final stages. County Executive Dan McCoy says input from school districts and BOCES was included in plan design.
Some of the consolidations we talked about, which was really number one, was health care, going out to bid, everyone being on one health care together. School districts like Voorheesville wanted us to take over their bus maintenance. And, so we came up with a variety of good ways that we can consolidate and save money and save money for the taxpayers of Albany County.
The plan is projected to save more than $10 million by 2019. McCoy, who must hold a public presentation of his final plan by mid-October, expects its implementation to foster additional shared service initiatives. Back in Columbia County, Capanera notes that an unofficial shared services program has also been status quo for years. As for any obstacles to expansion,
another thing is a couple of the things that we're looking for, really, we're throwing it back in the state's hands, state legislators' hands, to change some of the legislation that might eliminate some of the roadblocks. One of those would be in the health insurance, because the county is what we call ASO, which is totally self-funded, administrative services only, but state law prohibits smaller municipalities, less than 50 employees, from participating in ASOs. But we put it in our plan, so we'll throw that right back in the state.
Officials decided to review the plan in 1 year's time to see if it needs tweaking.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Giustina. City officials in Plattsburgh held a public hearing recently to discuss exceeding the state's mandated tax cap, and then they passed the 2018 budget. More from the Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley.
In past years, Plattsburgh's budget process would see the mayor presenting the proposed fiscal plan in October and the city council approving it by January 15th. When Mayor Colin Reed took office in January, he pledged to revamp the timeline and immediately begin the budget process in an effort to deal with shortfalls. The 2018 budget eliminates four city departments: IT, Recreation, Engineering, and Human Resources. The fiscal plan includes a tax levy of 4.35%, above the state property tax cap of 1.0099%. During a public hearing prior to the council meeting, only one city resident, Jeff Moore, spoke in hopes that councilors would meet the cap.
I'm sure the taxpayers would not mind as much. The money was spent wisely. I hope you can get under the tax cap, and the money gets directed to the things that it really needs in the city. And there's been no unusual circumstances that causes us to keep raising the taxes.
According to the New York State Department of Taxation and Finance, local governments can override the tax cap if they pass a local law with a 60% vote. The override vote and the adoption of the budget can occur on the same day. After Plattsburgh's public hearing and work session Thursday evening, the Common Council entered its regular session and passed the override. Ward 1 Councillor Rochelle Armstrong pointed out that their override is routine.
I'd just like to point out for anybody who's new to this process that this is something that we adopt as a matter of course before we pass any budget.
A few minutes after councillors overrode the tax cap, the city's $55 million spending plan was unanimously approved. Ward 2 Councillor Mike Kelly, the council budget officer, says this may be the earliest budget the Common Council has ever passed.
I feel really good about it because it allows our department heads to plan their spending and hopefully saving for the upcoming year, well in advance of the start of the year. In the past, we passed the budget in January. Well, the year's already started, so that doesn't leave a lot of time to plan. So now we have the luxury of a few months to consider how we're going to do that spending, and more importantly, how are we going to get more efficient in government and reduce spending over the long haul. I think it's interesting that even though we're over the tax cap, we're under the average tax increase for the city of Plattsburgh.
Mayor Reed discussed the expedited timeline.
It feels good because now it really allows us to start putting some things in place to actually bank some savings this year as well. That was one of the motivations behind it. The second motivation is we're going to be going out to do a major bond issue in November. We needed to have the clarity of our budget, our reduced expenditures, the fact that we're now balancing our budget and more to demonstrate to the bond markets that we've turned this around. And so this is the right approach.
Councillor Kelly notes that although the 2018 budget has been passed, city officials will continue to look for savings.
Technically, we cannot make changes to this budget until January of 2018. However, we can continue those discussions, and we will continue those discussions so that we may have a list of budget amendments lined up to reduce spending first meeting in January.
The average household in Plattsburgh will have to pay an additional $45 in taxes to the city next year. I'm Pat Bradley, WAMC News.
That about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1738, or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.